Welcome to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Amen. Well, you can pray for me. I came down with a cold the past couple of days. This morning, just a little bit of change in your notes. We're probably not going to get all the way through your notes. In fact, I know we won't. After we went to print, I just felt like there was just some more things that God wanted to share on certain aspects of this. But every day, we are surrounded by voices. We're surrounded by voices. We have family and friends, coworkers, supervisors, bosses, classmates, teachers, coaches, store clerks, restaurant servers. We hear things from the television and the radio. We hear every day voices that are not verbal, like things you read on Facebook or on Pinterest or in a text or an email or on Twitter or something like that. We get these nonverbal voices that influence our lives. Some voices have no words, like a Snapchat picture. Sometimes they're really kind of funny, kind of ridiculous. So the voices, they come in all shapes and sizes. They come in all different types of volume. Sometimes they're large, loud, and looming. Sometimes they're small, soft, and subtle. Some are in between. Some are positive. Some are negative. Some are true. Some are false. But all of them influence us to some degree. And so we need to select the right voices to listen to. I'd like you to open your Bible this morning or turn on your smartphone, your electronic device to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. Genesis 3, 1 to 10. And if you haven't guessed, the title of our message this morning is called Voices. And there's four different types of voices, and all of these are found in Genesis chapter 4. We're only going to get to the first voice today. I'll give that to you in just a moment. I'm going to throw out the other three because I'm going to be alluding to them throughout the message. The other voices that we have are the enemy's voice. That's your point two if you want to fill it in so you have it for next week. The next point is other people's voices, the voice of others. And the last one is the voice of God. And those are the voices that we hear that influence us, our voice. Let's pick it up in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "The serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.' Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows in that day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. You will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and she ate." There's two voices that are mentioned here. As a conversation going, one is between the enemy and the other one, and that's the first voice that we're going to camp out on this morning, is our own voice. The voice of ourself, our own voice, and what we think about ourselves, about life, about situations, about problems, about God, about other people, about really anything. Kind of a popular phrase that sums that up right now is the phrase self-talk. Self-talk. And the dictionary defines self-talk as the act or practice of talking to oneself. We have the definition there in your notes. It's either aloud or silently and mentally. Self-talk combines your conscious thoughts with your unconscious beliefs and biases. It's the conversations that we have within ourselves, either out loud or mentally. And there's patterns of self-talk, of either positive or negative. And a lot of times, these patterns start very young in our childhood. And usually the self-talk is a habit that colors our whole entire life. Maybe you've heard yourself use this kind of a voice before. I'll never be able to do this. Somebody have ever heard that or said that? I've had some of my kids in certain subjects in school. I can't get this. I don't understand it. I'll never be able to do algebra. How many ever felt like that, been there, done that? A few of you have. Me too. Maybe you've heard this one. This is impossible. Or, God, I can't handle this. Maybe you've said, I'm a failure. Or, I'm not worth anything. Or God can't use me. I can't do anything for God. Maybe there's even times, like we talked about last week in last week's message, you've said, why should I pray? What difference does it make? How many of you can recognize that you do use self-talk? You say things about yourself, about life, about the situation. God doesn't care for me. He's left me. He's not there. How many recognize that you use self-talk in your own life? Just wave at me this morning. I think most of us do. We use this self-talk. It's our voice of what we think about life. And the writer of Proverbs notes the power of self-talk. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, it says, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. As we think in our heart, that's who we are, that's who we become. It's this mental attitude that is a predictor of our present and a prophet of our future. The things that we say about us, about life, about God, about people, it actually creates our perception of what we think is real. And what we need to do is exchange negative self-talk for positive, God-glorifying self-talk. Because what your mind says about you, your values, your problems, your opportunities, your God, creates a perception that even though it may not be true, it's true to you and you live by it. And your self-talk can either be a prison that holds you up, or it can be a rocket that launches you and propels you to what God has for you. We need to replace negative statements with positive ones. If you find yourself talking negatively, replace it with positive. For example, instead of saying, I'll never be able to do this, I'll never get algebra, I'll never get chemistry, replace it with God's help, I can do this. Instead of saying, this is impossible, what could you say for that? Help me, preacher. Yes, with God, all things are possible. If you say, I can't handle this, what could you say? God, how can I handle this? James chapter 1, verse 5 says, if anyone lacks wisdom, you should ask God, and he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it'll be given to you. You feel you can't handle something? God says, ask me. I'll give you the wisdom to handle it. You feel like you're a failure. You say, I'm a failure? No, I failed, but I discovered another way how not to do something. And now I can ask myself, what can I do so I don't fail next time? We talked about that a few weeks ago. How do you define success? God and another three-letter word. Help me out here. God and, yes, God and try. That's a success. If you're always seeking God and you're always trying, you never give up, then you've never failed. Failure is not final. And what happens when we experience these negative thoughts that defeat us, that hold us back, they're keeping us from the destiny God wants us to live in. You feel you're not worth anything? I am worth everything to Jesus who gave his life for me because he loves me so much. You feel you can't do anything for God? God can't use you? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm empowered by the Almighty Holy Spirit of God. You feel like, what good does it do to pray? Remember the times God has answered prayer. Get out a piece of paper and begin to write them down. Remember what God has done for you, how he's answered prayer before, and he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to replace the negative self-talk, the negative voice that wants to defeat us and discourage us. Because in all of these situations, what we have done is we have excluded God from our life. And that's what negative self-talk does. It excludes God. I can't do anything. I'm a failure. The whole time it's I, and there's no thought about God, no thought about Jesus, no thought about the Holy Spirit who lives in you, that there's no one helping you, and you feel like you're living life on your own. And that is the problem with self-talk. It can focus negatively on a life without God. That's what happened to Eve. She forgot about who God was, about what God said, about how God felt about her. She saw her life being separated, isolated from God, and as a result, it did her in. Take a look in verse 2, because as Eve is talking in the garden, she says some things that God never said. Verse 2, Genesis 3. The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Now compare that to chapter 2, verses 16 and 17. The Lord commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you will surely die." Eve added something God never said. She says, if we eat it or touch it, we die. You see, Eve, somehow, some way, and realize when God spoke this in chapter 2, he spoke it only to Adam. Eve was not created yet. She's created in the following verses. God said it to Adam. So either Adam misspoke to Eve what God told him, or what Eve heard Adam say, she incorrectly perceived it. But that became part of her self-talk of who God is. And she takes on this a little bit harsher, more restrictive, more confining view of God. You can't eat it. You can't even touch it. God is kind of, man, he is just really clamping down on you. He's wrecking all of you. You can't go near it. And she has a distorted view of God. Sometimes we have a distorted view of God. Have you ever felt God's cruel, God's harsh, that he's done you wrong? He's not good to me? Sometimes when we feel that way, it's like, well, maybe God's allowing this because he knows if what happens that I want to happen really isn't good for me. Let me give an example. How many have ever had a little toddler who's learning to walk or even crawl, maybe not even, and you're cooking bread, fresh baked bread from the oven or a cake, and you're taking it out, and the oven door is down, and the little toddler comes racing up and sticks the hand out to put the hand on the hot oven door. What do you do? Stop! And the kid jumps, you know, or you grab the arm. Now that child thinks that that's something fun. I want to touch that. That is good for me. But as mom or dad, we know that is not good. If I give you what you want, it would damage you. It would hurt you. It would be harmful to you. And that's how it is sometimes with God. There are times God does things, and it doesn't make sense because us compared to the infinite, almighty God, we're like a toddler. We're like a little kid. We can't comprehend his thoughts. His thoughts are above our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. We don't always see what God is doing. And what happens is that we think God's being cruel and harsh when really he knows what's best. He knows why he's allowing things to happen. Things that look good to us can be bad. Going on here in Genesis 3, verse 6, it says, "The woman saw the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise. So she took of its fruit and ate." Eve's self-talk led to her fall. This is a good tree. I need this tree. It'll make me better. It'll help me. If I eat this fruit, I will be like God. I will be wise. And Eve gets this feeling that God is trying to shortchange her, trying to limit her, trying to hold her back, and that she needs to do her, what she thinks is right, because it'll be better for her. It'll help her. And that's what our self-talk does sometimes. Sometimes our self-talk gives us an inaccurate view of God and an accurate view of what is right and what is wrong. Your self-talk in your notes this morning can either self-construct or self-destruct. You can either self-construct or self-destruct with your self-talk. And Eve's self-talk destructed her. And that's why we need to be so acutely aware of what is the voice that we're letting speak in our lives. Because we're influenced by a lot of things. What are we saying about life, about God? We need to make sure that our self-talk is healthy. In your notes, there's a couple other examples in God's Word how self-talk impacts our lives. There is, the first bullet is self-limiting self-talk. This is where we say things about ourselves that keep us from reaching the destiny God has for us, from becoming what He wants. God wants to use all of us to impact people around us, to influence the kingdom. I think a lot of times our problem is that we don't really believe that God is all-powerful, almighty, and He wants to work through His body, His church, through you and I, and so we don't give God the chance and the opportunities to move like He wants to move. How many think God wants to do more miracles in our society? Yeah. How many think God wants to have a greater influence in people's lives, wants to see more people saved? Well, how is He going to do it through you and me? And we see this in Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 17. God is instructing the Israelites. You have to realize they're sitting at the promised land ready to go in. They have been wandering around in the desert for 40 years. 40 years ago, they were at this same place, had an opportunity to go into the land of promise, but it didn't happen. We'll talk about why in just a moment. But they're back again now 40 years. And look at verse 17. God says, if you should say in your heart, that's self-talk. If you say in your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? If that's your self-talk, if it echoes what was said 40 years ago, they're giants. We're grasshoppers. They're going to squish us like a bug. No thanks. We're not going in. He says, if that is your self-talk, he says, how can I dispossess them? He says, if you're going to limit yourself and see that you can't do it, I won't do it. Your self-talk can limit you from the plans and the dreams that God wants to accomplish in your life. He goes on to say, He's trying to encourage him, you shall not be afraid of them, but you shall remember well what the Lord your God did to Pharaoh and to all of Egypt. This isn't in your notes this morning. This is a freebie, but write this down, because this is the key to having a healthy self-talk, and that is to remember well what God has done. You have to remember well and hold on to it. Not remember it and let go of it, but remember it well. Remember it correctly. Remember it long and don't let it go. Because 40 years earlier, Israel, they didn't remember what God had done for them against Pharaoh. They didn't remember the 10 plagues. They didn't remember the Red Sea, how God wiped out the Egyptian army, and they didn't have to fear reprisal from them ever again. God was wiping their past free so it couldn't come back and haunt them. But instead of them remembering God well, they looked at the situation. They excluded God from it. They forgot about Him. And they says, we can't do this. And 40 years, millions of people wandered and died without accomplishing God's will for their life. That's
how powerful self-talk is. And now God is a new generation, and they're right on the edge of the land. And he's saying, what are you going to say about yourself? What are you going to say about me? What are you going to say about my promises? What are you going to say about the things that I've said I want to do in your life? Are you going to defeat yourself? Or are you going to speak life? The power of life and death is in the tongue. What do you say about yourself? Has God healed you? Has God delivered you from substance abuse? Has God delivered you from a habit, from a difficult situation? Has he set you free from depression? Has he saved you and forgiven you? Has he baptized you in the Holy Spirit? Has God answered prayer? Has God been faithful? Friends, what God has done before, he can do again, because he never changes. He is always the same. He stays the same through the ages. You can trust him. There's a second kind of self-talk, and it's interesting. It's one chapter later, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18, and this is self-lauding self-talk. Now, you say, what is that? I wanted them to match, okay? Self-limiting, self-lauding. I needed two L's. I had to search thesaurus.com to come up with that one, all right? To laud means to exalt, to praise, to think highly of something. And so the other one is, you know, man, we're limiting, we're bad, we can't do it. But the other one is, man, look how good we are. And God is saying this. He says, be careful when you enter the promised land when I bless your socks off. He says, be careful when I give you vineyards you didn't plant, houses you didn't build, wells you didn't dig, and your flocks begin to expand, when you become rich, when you enjoy all these blessings. He says, be careful, verse 17, chapter 8, one chapter later, then you say in your heart, that's self-talk, okay, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. In other words, look what I did. Look how great I am. Look what I built. I accomplished all this. And notice what he says again. When it was the limiting self-talk, he says, when you say you can't do it, remember your God well. Now look what he says about when you exalt and puff yourself up. You shall remember the Lord your God. There it is again. Remembering God. Don't exclude God from your life in the bad times or in the prosperous times. Make him part of your life. You say, Craig, how do I exclude God? You get up in the morning. Man, I've got a lot to do today. I just don't have time to pray. So I'm going to not pray. I'm just going to go on my day. But now, how did Jesus teach us to pray? He taught us to pray daily. You say, where do you get that? Give us this day our daily bread. Okay? How many of you like to eat every day? I'm watching very closely. Okay. Some of you don't like to eat every day. All right. You just saw that you can save in your grocery bill. You tell that person, hey, you're not eating. All right. You can save some money. You're saving for that cruise you want to go on. You're not eating. All right. But here's the thing. You want to eat every day. And Jesus said, if you want your bread, you need to ask for it every day. He didn't say, pray, ask God for a week's supply. Ask for your weekly bread. He says, no, ask for a daily supply. So if I want to eat today, I need to ask today. If I want to eat tomorrow, I now have to ask him for bread today. And he's saying, I want you to come to this place where you're depending on me, where you're coming to me every day, every day. I want to commune with you. I want to abide with you. I've given you my Holy Spirit. He wants to make a temple inside of you. I want this fellowship, this relationship. I don't want you to come into church on Sunday morning, oh yeah, we love you, Jesus, and then we walk out and you forget about me till next week. And yet that's how a lot of Christians live their lives. We're not including God. Man, I'm so busy, I'm not going to church today. I got to work on Sunday. Man, I don't have enough money, so I'm not paying my tithe. I'm not giving my missions faith promise because I've got bills to pay. Friends, we exclude God from our lives in so many subtle ways that we don't even realize it. And instead of trusting God and saying, God, I want to walk. It's walking in the Spirit. You want more joy? The answer is more of the Holy Spirit. You want more love? You need more of the Holy Spirit. More patience? More of the Holy Spirit. You say, Craig, where are you getting that? Galatians chapter 5, it says, walk in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. If you want more of those things and you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life, and you get that by spending time with God and then listening and walking with Him throughout the day, abiding in His presence. It's not just going into your prayer closet and you pray for however long it is and you walk out and you forget about Him again. It's this walk. It's including God in every aspect of your life. It goes on to say, remember that it's God, the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth. It's He who gives you the ability to get up in the morning and to think and to talk and to do your job, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers as it is this day. Friends, these are the two extremes in self-talk. The first one is, man, we limit ourselves. Man, I'm bad. I'm bad. I'm just really, really bad. I can't do anything. I can't accomplish anything. Or we go to the other end of the spectrum. I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it. I'm bad. I'm bad. You know it. I'm bad. I'm bad. Come on. I'm bad. You got the whole world here to answer right now. That's right. I'm bad. And we either say, I'm really, really bad, or we say, that's right, I'm bad. I can do this on my own. I don't need God. We say, I'm no good, or I say, I'm really, really good. And our self-talk is excluding God from our lives. And instead of having this relationship where I enjoy Him, and I walk with Him, I'm empowered by Him, I'm comforted by Him. When it looks impossible, I put my trust in Him and I see Him come through for me. And I'm a person of faith and of victory and of hope. And so as I walk around and people know what I'm going through, the world sees that and they see the faith and the victory and the hope and the confidence. They say, why are you like that? Because I see what you're going through. Jacob, I know your wife Julie died. Craig, I know your wife Rebecca is sick. I know you lost your job. I know this happened to you. How come you still have hope? How come you still have joy? It's because I serve a God who loves me, who gave His life for me, and I am victorious. These troubles are light and momentary, and I've got a greater victory, greater reward waiting for me in heaven. And the world needs to see a church that is victorious and doesn't limit themselves and says that we walk in the power of the Almighty God. What voice are you speaking to yourself? Is your voice constructing you into the image of Jesus? Is it constructing you to be that lion chaser that God wants you to be for His glory and His kingdom? Is that voice saying, God defies the odds? Or is it destructing you? Our voice, that first voice, is influenced by the voice of the enemy, the voice of others, and the voice of God. And you need to choose what voice is going to influence you. The first thing that we need to do is we need to notice the patterns in our life. Because if you don't realize that you're thinking destructively, negatively, then you can't overcome it. I'm going to give you three practical ways to do this. You're going to have to write it somewhere because I didn't give you enough in the notes, like I said. The first one is journal writing. Carry a notebook with you or carry your journal with you. And as you go through the day, whenever you make a negative statement, write it down. And at the end of your day, kind of look at the statements and just see what's happening. Do that for a week. Write down all the negative things you say and just become aware, because I think sometimes we say a whole lot more negative things. Pray and say, Holy Spirit, show me today the negative things, the things that lack faith, the things that lack hope, the things that lack love, the things that lack joy, the things that lack patience. Show me the negative things and write them down. Another thing that you can do is thought stopping. Is that when you think that negative thought, just stop right there and say, okay, no, I'm not going to say that. And say something positive instead. Stop your thoughts. The third one is a rubber band snap. Wear a rubber band. And whenever you say something negative, just pull that back and snap it. And just, you know, that kind of stings. I don't like that. You go through the day, and if you've snapped yourself, you know, 10, I mean, I've done it 4 times. That's hurting, man. I mean, you snap yourself, you'll realize how you're letting the negativity hit you and sting you and destruct you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says, we destroy arguments. And the thing is, these arguments a lot of times are in our mind. And every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. Start identifying those negative thoughts and then take them captive and make them obey Christ. You may be perceiving the events in your life as more stressful than they need to be. There are some of you, you are warriors. Did you know that warriors can be awesome prayer warriors? Just turn every worry you have into a prayer. Instead of continuing to ruminate on that worry, just recognize, okay, I'm going to give this to you, God. And if you turn your worry into prayers, man, you know what? You might stop worrying as much because the enemy doesn't want you to pray. If you turn your worries into prayers, man, I don't want them to worry because they're going to start praying and then that hurts me. You may be attributing negative motivations to people who are well-meaning. I know there's times when you think someone's out to get you and they really don't mean to, but because you've got this negative self-talk, you think the whole world's out. Nobody likes me. Everybody hates me. I'm just going to go eat worms. You may be perceiving yourself as less equipped to handle situations or to seize the opportunities that God wants you to chase the lion in your life, and you limit yourself. You may be seeing the negatives so much more than the positives, and you could live on the sunny side of the street instead of the gloomy side of the street, all through your self-talk. The key to all of this is remember well the Lord your God. What's God done for you? How has He shown His power? His guidance in your life, His healing, His deliverance, His faithfulness, His presence, His comfort. Remember what God has done, and when those negative thoughts come in, I'm going to take them captive and I'm going to remember God.
You have been listening to the podcast of Casper Faith Assembly in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please email us casperfaith@gmail.com or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation of Casper Faith Assembly, where relationships matter most.